Today is going to be a very interesting topic because it started with the question. One time I'm just working out in my gym and I started conversation with some guy. I think he was a Russian guy way back, and he came to me and he said, really interesting question. He said, like, how do you know that your God, Christianity God, is the true God? Good question, right? I mean, out of the all gods, all religion, how do you know your God is the true God? Maybe you're missing out on some other cooler God. More God that you have more fun with, right? No. How? And I was like a little startled. It's like, whoa, that's a good question. I love good questions. I love questions that challenges me. And I'm like, thank you. I'll need that later. And today's topic, I named, really interestingly, taste and see. And I was like a little puzzled for a minute, and I said, like, give me time, I'll get back to you on that one. And as I am on my treadmill, he's right there listening to something. He's like, yeah, okay. I guess he question, as soon as you, I think there is a guy that know how to deflect Christians. He said, like, I'll question him with the question, and he's gonna be puzzled like everybody else, and he's gonna leave me alone about his Jesus, whatever. And I think that guy was prepared. How do you know that your God is true God? I'm like, okay, yeah, see you later. And he's like, keep running. I said, okay. I'm listening, I'm praying, and then I've been reminded by God. He said, the only way that we know our God is the true God, because this is the only God that let you taste him. Oh, hold on. Do you know all other gods, all other religion, we never get to know experience and tastes. We can only get knowledge, information. All other gods, they are informative gods based on some kind of a law or some kind of information or someone else's vision about something, right? But our God does not allow somebody to just say, he invites you inside of him. And it's not only he wants to touch you. See, this is the one-sided thing. He invites you to taste him. He invites you. He said, like, come. Remember David? Oh, we'll get it today. Many years ago, that was the really puzzling question. And then I saw that guy in some other day, and I told him, because my God can only be tasted. And in the Bible it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. See, you cannot know that God is good. You will never experience his love unless you taste and see. Taste and feel. Remember, why are you Christian? Why are you here? I'm sure many of you, right? A lot of people listen to me. Why are you here? Because you felt something. You experienced something, right? It's not just God like Buddha, you do something and you give your life to that, go to the mountain, dress in orange and do all kinds of nonsense. A lot of stuff. Why is this cut you? Because this God touched you way different than anything else, right? Something was very different about this one. Psalm 34:9. I'll repeat this one. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is who takes refuge in him. See, he allows you to come into him, hide in him, taste him. See, even this communion that we did right now, it's a reminder, physical reminder, that we can eat and drink our God. Do you see what I mean, guys? It's a physical representation of spiritual revelation that our God needs to be consumed, eaten, and drank. We need to taste our God. Hold on. We're going deeper. Remember when Jesus was tempted in the desert by the Satan, devil told him to make bread out of the stones, right? You remember, you all remember that. But remember what Jesus said? Do you remember what Jesus said? We not living by bread alone, I'm paraphrasing, but by every word, revelation that comes out of the mouth of God. Basically, Jesus compared being with God as eating something. Did you get this? Why Satan tell him, make bread because you're hungry, you need to eat? And Jesus said, no. I'm eating something right now. It's not this. See, please understand, this is way deeper than just this little thought. See, we are different because our God lives in us and we live in of our God. See, this is why we are so different. And I'm so sorry for people in a religion that only know God by reading about God. See how boring this is? A lot of people do all kinds of rituals, all kinds of nonsense, just because they never tasted God. Do you know how many Christians living on this planet right now that never tasted God? That's why they hate you. Because Christians or children of God that tasted God and people who just reading about God and decided to be afraid not to go to hell and just to serve that God, it's a very two different categories of people. People that tasted Jesus, other people that just know about Jesus. And that's why they will never understand you and you will never understand them. You say, this is the God. And they say, how you know? And you like, oh, I know because I know. Isn't it true? I know because I know. How to explain it to you? I cannot explain it to you. I can take you and lead to the source, but you have to drink. But you cannot drink unless you open your heart. You see my point? We'll read this in the Bible. It's all biblical. It's all right there. We taste the essence of Heavenly Father. That He allows us to taste Him for a moment. How do I know that my God loves this and absolutely hates this? How do I know? God says, I'll give you my spirit that will live inside of you and he will teach you everything. Can you imagine someone living inside of you and you don't need nobody to teach you? All you need is connection with your God and with his word, and this is all you need. This is good. I love teachers. I am a teacher. But I'm telling you, there is a greater way. There is someone that want to be with you. Can you imagine? Your God doesn't want you to serve him. Your God wants you to be with him. He doesn't need servants. He can create more if he needs it. He needs sons and daughters. But what requires from the son? Relationship. Hello. Relationship. Are you in a relationship with your Heavenly Father right now? Or he's just a spare tire in your trunk? Oh, think about that for a moment. Because in most Christians, they understand God, they know about God, and they carry God with them like a spare. Anything happens, or it's a, like, I don't know, like a Santa Claus, that when you need something, you write the list. Dear Santa, I've been a good boy this year. What? This is, people do this because they don't have a relationship. If I'm asking Louisa and Danny right now, they're engaged, they're getting ready to be married. What do you need from Louisa, Danny? Nothing. From Louisa, I need Louisa. This is how love works. And as soon as he starts demanding something from her, this is no longer love. If you only understand what I'm talking about. I'm in a Baptist church somewhere. Come on. Do something. Shake, move, clap, breathe. Come on. People. I'm an emotional dude, so just do something, right? I love emotions. I'm joking, you can see it. I don't know, maybe you just got blasted with revelation. I don't know. I love you. The Bible repeatedly says that he is our living bread. Amen? Living bread. What does it mean? That means I need to eat that bread. Why do I need to eat? And then, how, another question that people ask. Okay, how do I change? If I taste my God, this is the thing. Something needs to, you need to be in relationship with somebody, someone who is more powerful than you. See, how we change? We don't change by only information. We transform by allowing something come into us. Do you know that Holy Spirit and presence of God, it's like a virus, but in a good way, that comes into you, and no matter what you do or don't do, that virus changes you, transforms you into something else. See, this is how God is. He will not just enter your life and just do whatever. He wants to be invited because you love him. And more you invite him, the more you become like him. Whoo, Jesus, Jesus. This is what happens. How do I change? More and more I spend in his presence and I taste him, I eat him, I drink him, I understand him. See, this is how it works. And if that is more powerful than me, and God, of course, more powerful than you and me, I will change. See, a lot of people, by their human will, they want to quit this or quit that. They want to quit smoking, quit watching porn, quit watching do this, quit watching drinking, quit watching hang out with this bad friend. Quit cussing. It's not going to work. Because your will can go just so far. But if you really want to change, invite somebody who will touch you on a different level and explain it to you that this is detestable to him. Do you see my point? Do you know how I quit a lot of things that I mentioned? Not all of them. I didn't have all of it, but some I did. Because soon as more and more I'm inviting him into my spirit, I understand that he detests this. And in the time pass, I have the same feelings towards sin because God lives on inside of me. You see my point? I'm not trying. I hate this. And more you spend time with God, more you become like God. You feel his feelings. You have his passion. You see what he sees. How you do that? You taste him more and more. Can you imagine God allow you to come into his presence 24/7? How much do you want God? It's how much you want, you can get God. It doesn't matter. It's all based on your hunger, right? It's all based on your hunger. It is very difficult to explain because human speech is not capable of explaining what it means to taste and see what the Lord is good. I understand. English is bad. My English even worse. So just hang on. What or who is God? People come to you and say, like, who is God? I love that God reserved the right only for himself to explain who he is by inviting you and letting you taste him. He does not. See, the thing is, I want to bring that guy or that gal, those people to Christ. Do you know that you cannot? God needs to want them, or he needs to touch them, or they need to open their hearts to him. But I'm praying for some people for years and nothing happened. And the other people just turn around, they just receive Christ like that. What's going on? Because something happened in their heart that does not happen to those people. These people say, I'm done, I'm tired, no matter what. If you are God, touch me. I remember I used to be a teenager, and first time I cried to God back then in Ukraine, and I said, if you are here, let me know. And I start feeling him. You see my point? I start touching him. He start touching me. God reserved that right to touch you. See, that's why religion never can recreate. That's why it's dead. Because living God reserve right to touch you by himself, no one else. He said, like, oh, you can only talk about God. You can only learn about God. But to know him, you need to be invited by him. See, that's the key. And this is what born again means. So what or who is God? Taste, try, and you will know. You will know. Why some other people will come on the pulpit, not on this one, on someone else, and you're like, this is heresy. How do you know this is heresy? Because you tasted God and you know this is not of him. This is not of his spirit. You see my point? How do we know? Because we know, because we ate and drank God, we tasted him. And now that I know that, whoa. Why you say God is not like this? Because you know how God is. You hang out with him every day. You know that this is not my God. Well, if it's a God, it's not my God. Maybe it's something else. But this is not my God. Matthew 5:8. Blessed are pure in heart, for they shall see. See, guys, see, do you know the key to see? Key to see. It's a pure heart. Some people say, why am I want God. Because your motives are not true. As soon as your heart will be pure and you say, like, I don't care, I want to see you, God responds to purity of heart. You can't just like, okay, I want to see God. It's not working that way. Only pure in heart will see the Lord. And that's how you taste him. First, you need to humble yourself and understand there is something more than you. Then you need to ask the living God, touch you. And then if your heart is pure, which I understand it is, most of you, he will come. He's not going to send me, see, another human stop running around and looking for pastors, apostles, evangelists, teachers. Stop. Run towards him. Catch him, be with him. This is the whole point of Christianity. Removing someone in front of me to get straight to God. See, this is what religion is. They try to build something between you and God. and explain to you how God is. Well, let me taste it. No, 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 no. Nobody can see, taste, or touch God. We will explain it to you. Just sit here, give us your money, and we'll teach you about God. Can you get lost? I want to taste God by myself. See, religion always between you and your God. Always something you don't have enough. You don't have enough wisdom, enough purity. You're not holy enough. You're not close enough. You're always something. But God says, come as you are. All you need, one condition, purity of heart. Purity of heart. It doesn't mean you don't sin, you don't fall, you don't make mistakes. No. David did all of that stuff. He fell many times. But one thing he had the purest heart, and God loved that. He always repented. He always understood what he did wrong. Yeah. God cannot be explained. He can only be known. Again, God cannot be explained. He can only be known. I can tell about God, but ultimately, it's going to be only information for you. If you want to know him like I know him, or more, to know him more, you need to know him. You need to go to him, go to the source. I love this. That is precisely why people get into such confusion and embarrassment, because they have not personally tasted God. And this is religion. Religious always try to explain God. God always tried to get rid of the law, all of these obstacles, and just say, come as you are. Soon as I touch you, you will get me, and I will get you. See, this is how it is, and it's all based on love. This is why God, see, please understand why there is two covenants. Because first covenant, based on information about God. You know the Old Testament, right? Only people, certain people, once a year come into his presence. It's without even touching him, just doing a bunch of sacrifices, bunch of prayers, and get out before you die. See, this is all covenant. And then he said, I don't want this. I am getting rid of this. He doesn't, please understand me, correctly. He doesn't get rid of the law. He get rid of the approach to Heavenly Father. Law is there. You still cannot do this. Law is stands. It's not going to change. But whole approach to God is absolutely different. Now it's based on love. See, listen to this. Listen to this. This is so good. This is why God destroyed old covenant. He himself. Because it based on law and all these regulations and gave us the new covenant based on love. But love have a requirement. Relationship. Do you know how I know that Danny and Louisa, they love each other? They have a relationship. Physical, online, FaceTime, text message. You see my point? It's a relationship. How do you know that somebody loves you? He's in contact with you. How do you know that people don't care about you? 2 years passed, they didn't even remember your name. Like, ooh, who is that in my contact list? I don't know. Delete. Notice that the Heavenly Father did not allow himself to be known informationally. That's why he removed the law. Because law just teaches you about God. You see my point? Law just teaches you, God is this, God is that, don't do this, you will die, you will die, blah, blah. All this, and it's good explanation, it's good. But law doesn't give you access to the Heavenly Father. It doesn't do anything. Just a bunch of information about some God that sits somewhere so far away that I need to be afraid and do all of this stuff to be accepted. And then he said, like, I'm moving this out and I'm giving my son as a sacrifice for everybody. And everybody, see, do you know why I love God? God loved you so much, he based his covenant with himself. Yeah, you don't get it. He know that Adam and Eve, they fell. So God cannot actually make covenant with human being, because we are bye-bye, done. You can't, you're already fallen. He got part of himself, his son, God, Jesus, give him flesh, and he made covenant. God on a throne made covenant with God that wrapped with the flesh, and anybody who is the flesh receives Son of God and become part of that covenant. If you only understand what I just said. See, this is the whole point. And that's why you cannot without Christ. This is the only door. This is the only way. This is the only truth. Christ. Because God made covenant only with another God. Well, another God. With himself, to clarify. But he wrapped Jesus with the flesh, with this flesh. And anybody who's of this flesh can come into a covenant. But all you have to do is surrender. Just give your life to him and become part of his family. You see my point? There's nothing easier than this. Hard for those people who want to live their life their way. For them it's hard. God and teach Father not allowing himself to be known informational. This is exactly where religion fails. Religion try to tell us about God and teach us about God. It is impossible because information can be manipulated. That's why God refused the information, because people manipulate information. You see my point? They change the information. We tweak the information. I can even guess what kind of party, politically you belong to. Just tell me which news channel you watch. Yeah. Well, tell me what channel you watch, and I tell you precisely who you are politically. Because that information being manipulated by that channel, that manipulate and that channel manipulate information in their way. Everybody manipulates channel, even Fox News. Come on, hello, wake up. Everybody manipulates everything. It's people, it's human nature. CNN, don't even get me started on that one. Constant negative news. Period. That's how you know. See, why God doesn't allow us just to read about him, just to know? Because information can be manipulated. Guys, do you know why there is so many religions, so many variations of Christianity? Because anybody who get in Bible manipulate that word in his own way and image. You see my point? They manipulated, they rewritten, they because information can be manipulated. And that's why God refused information. He said, by my spirit. You cannot manipulate. All you need to do, refuse the law, invite his spirit. And guys, did you ever try? Okay, let's see. You did something wrong. And Holy Spirit inside of you, telling you, that you did something wrong. You need to stop and go apologize. Did you ever try to talk Holy Spirit out of it? Like, Holy Spirit, you didn't get it. Holy Spirit, I didn't get it. I live inside of you. I know you better than you. Did you ever try to negotiate the surrender plan with the Holy Spirit? Oh, yeah. Did you get this? Spirit of God cannot be manipulated. Inside of it, he will tell you exactly who you are, what you did, and how he wants you to correct this. Hello. See, that's why he said, like, forget it, information. Information is good if this information been, how should I say, poured through or translated through the Spirit of God. Then it's truth. But soon as you disconnect this from the Spirit of God, This will kill you. Bible will kill you if this is not explained or led by the Holy Spirit. Because it's dry word and you can read something and people can read something, manipulate something. And that's why God says, no information about me. Come and taste. And everybody, how do we know we're brothers and sisters? We taste same God. We think alike. We pray alike. Because we are like him. You see my point? That's why you know this is my brother, and you go to some other place, some other state, some other church, and you're like, whoa, yeah, he looks like me, but he absolutely have wrong spirit. Did you guys get that? You sit with the people. He talking about Christ, but I know he doesn't know Christ. He's sharing some revelation about some kind of a thing, but I know he doesn't know God, because this is not how God is. How do you know? You tasted him. He touched you. He was inside of you. Our living God can only be tasted, touched by our spirit. Heavenly Father gave people the only one method to know, of knowing themselves through the personal revelation, where he himself allows you to try himself, to taste. This is what born again means. See, what is born again? Born again, you tasted him and you invite him into your life and you become part of his kingdom. How do you know? Because your spirit been born from his spirit. And this is make you alive. In other words, no one is allowed to give a revelation about God. He's reserved this right only for himself. Why? Because no one is able to explain God. It's like, I can't not, if you never tasted Pepsi, I cannot explain it to you how the Pepsi tastes. Can you imagine? But guys, please understand, if I cannot explain you simple soft drink, you think I'm able explain to you living God? Come on! And when people like, let me tell you something about God, you can laugh into their faces, because they cannot. Only they can do what I cannot do. I said like, hey dude, I can buy Pepsi for you. And you will taste it, right? But you need to do a step of faith, buy the thing, open the thing, and drink the thing. And then you're like, oh, that what you mean. See, all of my life, from childhood, from Sunday school, I've been explained by the teacher in Sunday school about Israel, about the stories of Goliath and David and mountains of Israel, you know, people, about Jews, about the Jerusalem, about everything. And I have like a preconceived idea what Israel is, what Jerusalem is. And then I came there and I like, and there's like, this is the mountain. I said, this is the mountain? Bro, I'm living mountain like that. Probably taller than this. See, guys, it's like, see, the thing is, when somebody explained it to you, I'm not demeaning anything. I'm just more shocked, you know, like you think like this is shot, like a little pimple. And they call it a mountain. You see our mountains? Holy moly. People go there and sometimes don't come back because they die. it's so cold, so far away. Those mountains like a little hills. What we call hills in Washington, they call mountains in Israel, okay? and I was like, oh, the city of, you know, Nazareth. I'm coming. They're like, this is city of Nazareth? This is itty bitty town? Are you kidding me? Jesus was here. Whoa, Jesus. You know, when you come to Israel, you will be shocked. I mean, it's a good way. Now you understand what's going on, and that's how it's supposed to be. But what I mean, until you know for yourself, you don't know nothing. People can explain it to you. People can tell you. People, but you need to physically touch this, see with your eyes, hear with your ears, and that's what God, what our God wants. He's inviting you. He said, like, you want to know me? Come to me. This is what born again is. See, you cannot, some people say like, oh, he rejected God. You can only reject God by tasting, listen to me very carefully, by tasting and then deciding, I don't want this God. See, he loves you so much, he not refuse you or not gonna give you access until you have a full experience of God. And then you can tell him, do you want him or not? You see my point? See, I don't like Coca-Cola. Why? I just don't like. Did you taste it, Coca-Cola? No. How do you, why you don't like it? Because other people don't like it. Who cares about other people? You need to taste Coca-Cola in order to even have an idea. And then you can make a decision, right? Do you like Coke or don't like Coca-Cola? Right? I'm getting there. Did you guys receive anything today? Please understand, your God, yes, give him a shout of praise. Thank you, Jesus, to get rid of everybody else and to want to know me personally. And he just don't want to touch you. He wants you to touch him. He wants you to come into him and into his presence and taste him. This is how I change. This is how I transform. In other words, no one is allowed to give revelation about God. God reserved this right for himself because he wants to give you the taste of him, and then you can know. Understand, information about can be received. Information about God can be received accidentally. You sit in a movie, and then some kind of a scene plays on the screens, and people, you see the crucifixion, you see Christ, you see God, you see all of this, and you receive piece of information accidentally, right? You read something, you saw something, but see, this is where it gets interesting. But it's impossible to taste God accidentally. Ooh. It's impossible. That means I need to take and taste. I need to make a decision. See, that's how God works. He gave you will. Okay, before I become a Christian, I knew about God a lot. But that was so different as soon as I tasted him. Like, wow, this is God. And that's why I decided to give him all my life, because I don't want to live without him. I don't want to live without him one day. He's my bread, he's my life, he's my water, he's my drink, he's everything to me. And I'm not just saying because I'm here in position. Guys, I am a pastor because I did that. Not just I'm on the stage and I have to say that. No. I am a son first. I'm a worshiper first. And then he gave me a stage to share this. Mm. And this is where the most important aspect of being born again or rejecting God occurs. That is, you can reject God only in one case, having tasted him and made a personal, conscious decision not to be with him. See, some people say, why? Who's going to be in hell? One guy came to me and said, like, can you explain it to me? Can somebody go to hell accidentally? No. No. Hell reserved for those who really want to be in hell. You see my point? How do you want to be in hell? You absolutely refused God. You tasted him. You got to know him. And then you step away. You see my point? All other people will be given a chance to know him, to taste him. Because how can you judge someone without them even knowing what they judged for? To them, sin is sin. Do you know why sinners... only the sinners who understand, know about God, met God, and then decided to go back to the life of sin, this is the only people that will be judged. Because for them, they knew hot and cold, black and white. See my point? For people who live in sin and never met God, for them sin is their life. They don't even know hot and cold. All they live and see cold only. See, God is merciful, and he gave you that opportunity to know him, and then you tell yourself or tell to him, do you want to be with him? Do you accept him? That is, you can reject that only one case, having tasted him and made a conscious personal decision not to be with him. After touching him, the spirit of each of us make a decision. See, this is how I remember how I born again. Soon as he touched me, I remember that decision. If this is God, I want to be with him for the rest of my life. Some peace and rest and, I don't know, healing come into my life. I never imagined that. And I was like, what is this? All my troubles just went away. What is going on? And I'm starting, like, looking for him, searching for him, becoming, go on that path, becoming a son of God, because my spirit craves him. My spirit wants him. He hungers for him. Wow. In other words, we choose the source. See, our will, our human will,
given to us only for one purpose, guys. One purpose only. To choose our source. Either this is Spirit of God or this is the spirit of this world. That's it. Whenever you choose spirit of this world, that means everything in it already predestined for you. It's sin, it's death, it's destruction. There is nothing you can do. You already chose that. And if you chose God, everything is chosen for you in there. Because you already said, like, I'm your son. And then Father opens, reveals his will to you, what he wants you to do. How do you know that you belong to him? You feed on his life, on his energy, on his word. Personally, I cannot live a single day without feeding on his spirit. Absolutely my food, absolutely my life, absolutely my air I breathe. This is necessary to feed on God. Why it's so necessary? Why? People say, like, you always say, go to God, go to your place of worship, go pray, go lock the door and just be with him. Why? This is the only way I'm changed. See, we all cut in the two worlds, right? All of us. Don't tell me otherwise, I know. And those two worlds, they fighting for us, right? And God says, if you want to become like me, you need to be with me. You need to feed on me. I want to set your day so you will live as a victorious, as a conqueror in this day. Tomorrow, another day, and so on and so forth. Personally, I cannot live a single day. So why is necessary, absolutely necessary to feed on God? Because every time I partake of him, something much more powerful enters into me, and I simply cannot remain the same. If something more powerful enters into you, your being, your whole being submitted to someone more powerful than you in your own house. And that's how you change. That's how you become. And in another word, my son in my house, when he grew up, when he born in my house, right? He born. Do you know that to remain in my house, he needs to be in my will. He needs to do and he needs to learn my culture, my behavior, everything. And basically, he transformed as he grows. He transformed, you see my point? That culture of my house influenced him. And when he's going to get out of the house, he's going to have the same principles as I am. See, same thing with God. He invite you to teach you, to transform you, so you become son of God. You carry the principles of heaven. You carry his kingdom. Amen? And that's why. So if he's in another house, in another man's house, I guarantee you he will learn other people's character, other people's behaviors, culture of that house. Maybe in that house it's okay to yell or okay to hit husband, hit wife, or okay to drink alcohol, whatever. He will learn those behaviors. You see my point? But because he was in my house, living in my culture, he got all of that from this house. Because I am more powerful than him and my influence, like I said, influenced him. Right? My character influenced him, right? So this is how it works. Same with God. Invite him. You want to be victorious? Invite him. He's more powerful than you. That means he will fight your battles. Do you know why you're losing? You're fighting your battles on your own. On your own. You wake up in the morning and say, like, let's see what kind of kick in the butt I got today. And then you're like coming home like, oh, you beat up and down and pay. Guys, invite him into you. Be with him. Do you know how you know you love someone? And someone that you love know that you love them. You give them your time. Hello? How do you know that God loves you? He gave you all of his time. How does God know that you don't care about him?
you don't give him a time of your day unless you need something from God. This is how orphans work. Orphans have no relationship. Orphans come to the Father only when they need something. Stop being orphan and become a son. Amen. What does it mean, orphan and son? It's your mind. It's transforming of your mindset. I'm going to wrap this up really, really soon. Okay. He conquers me. As he conquers me, he transforms me. And I'm submitting my life to him because I want to become like him. This is so good. When you are conquered by God, you enter in complete comfort of your spirit, your soul. There are no more conflict. You enter into the rest and peace of God. See, some people have conflict because they are not fully conquered by God. Soon as you're fully conquered by God, His Spirit, that's where rest comes. That's where peace comes. That's where enjoyment comes. Because there is no more battle. Somebody already won. Somebody already conquered this property, this territory. Oof. Where you are completely His, and He is completely yours. Whew, I love this one. Thank you, Jesus. I'll read one passage from the Bible, and we are done. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 14. I love this one. But their minds are blinded. That's Jesus talking about Pharisees. Their minds are blinded for to this day the veil remains unlifted. When the law is read, for it will not be lifted except through Christ. See, that law, veil of the law, lifted by Christ, that comes into your life and make you His own. That's how it works. But to this day, whenever the law of Moses is read, the veil remains on everyone's hearts. See, not faces, hearts. See, this is really important because we feel and taste by our hearts. This is how God works. That's why you need to guard your heart, Bible says many, many times. Verse 16, but when a person turns to the Lord, see, this is the key. But when person turns to the Lord, the veil falls away. Law is gone. You see the key? There is no more fear. There is no more God's wrath or God's judgment because that veil lifts and there is nothing standing between you and God that you love and God that loves you. With the Spirit of the Lord, see, veil falls away. Now the Lord is whom I speak is the Spirit, and where Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. You see my point? Soon as you get to know Him, that's where freedom comes. People who don't know the Lord or know God by information, they always in fear. Guys, did you ever notice that religion people constantly live in fear? Absolute fear. Fear of marketplace. Fear of buying and buying house. Fear of selling. Fear of moving. Fear of all the time. Fear of God. Fear of ministry. Fear of everything. Constant fear. Soon as that veil takes off, fear is gone, and knowledge, understanding, and truth coming into your life, there is no more fear. You're absolutely His. He's taking care of you right now. Spirit, and where is the Spirit of the Lord? There is liberty. But we all, with unveiled faces, this is the key, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, and transformed into His likeness. See, we can only be transformed when there is nothing between us. Me touching, tasting, seeing my God, and that's what changed me into His image. This is the key. In His ever-increasing glory, and this is transformation, is from the Lord.
This is the key. This transformation is from the Lord. Guys, this is the big revelation. This transformation is not by your power, by your, you know, energy, by your wanting. It's not by you. That transformation happens by His Spirit. He is transforming you. What do you need to do? Look upon Him. Be with Him. Love Him. Touch Him. Taste Him. Drink Him. Just be with Him. And each year, more and more, you're going to remind around people, you are different. Your thinking process, your mind works differently. Your prayer, you speak different. Around you, there's absolutely different atmosphere. What is going on with you? You're spending a lot of time in His presence. And that's what is changing you. In ever-increasing glory, this transformation is from the Lord. That is from the Spirit of God. Whoo! Did you get something today, guys? Thank you, Jesus. Stand up right now. Do you have anybody on the keys? And let's taste God right now. Let's just taste Him right now. How you taste Him? You worship. Worship opens everything and you go straight to the throne room of God. You go straight to the throne room of God. And that's how you taste Him. That's through the worship. Some people say, like, I don't feel God. You don't feel God because you no longer worship Him. You know, one time I got caught, like, God, I want to feel You. I don't feel You anymore. I don't, what's going on with me? And I was like, do this, do that. God says, you forgot the number one rule in My house. You don't ask anything. You don't beg for nothing. You just come and you worship Him. Doesn't matter your feelings. Doesn't matter your circumstances. Doesn't matter anything. He's absolutely deserve our worship. Stop begging. He's not Santa Claus. Stop asking. Stop. He's not banker that give you loan. He is the Father that wants to be with you. Just close your eyes. And right now, start worshiping Him. Papa, we love You. Holy Spirit, we love You so much. And as soon as you start pouring your worship and love from your heart, that's how you taste God. That's how you connect with Him. And this is the whole point of this sermon, of this teaching, of this word. Start worshiping Him. Oh, I'm not holy enough. Who cares? He spilled His blood for you. That's what devil wants you. He wants to get you caught in all of this nonsense. What you did, what you didn't do, how you think. Just get rid of all of this. And when you come to Him, come with humble heart and worshiping Him. He deserves all my praise. He deserves all my love, all my worship. And for at least 30, 40, 50 minutes, just worship Him. Worship Him. You will be blown away what's going to start happening in your life. You will be shocked what's going to start happening in your life. Start asking for anything. Stop. Stop asking for anything. Stop begging. Stop. He knows everything. All He wants is your love. Pour your love on Him. Just taste Him. How do I taste Him? I worship Him and His Spirit touching my heart. And I'm merging with Him. I'm becoming one with Him. I remember that day in 1993 when I met Jesus. It all happened during one of the most intense worship I ever felt. I was in deep, deep worship for many hours. I don't even know how long. I closed my door. I said, God, I'm so hungry for You. I'm so hungry for You. I'm just so hungry for You. Can You touch my life? And I remember hour passed, 2 hour passed, 3 hour passed. I don't remember, probably by hour number six, I don't know, five, fifth, sixth hour in my room without food, without drink, without anything. I was just hungering for God. I said, all I want is just to be with You and just worship Him and worship Him. And my spirit start to see Him, guys. And that's what I want to preach on this stage. That's what I want you to get to know Him.
Just start worshiping Him. Start hungering for Him. If you don't have a hunger, start asking Him for the hunger. Touch me, Jesus. I'm worshiping You. I want to taste You. I want to feel You. I want to be with You. I want to become You. I want You to live inside of me. Transform me. Change me. I am Yours. I am absolutely Yours. Right now, just taste Him. He's available. You don't have to do anything. Just come with hunger and a pure heart. Hunger and a pure heart. Thank you, Papa. Thank you, dear Jesus. Thank you so much. Thank you, my friend. Thank you so much. Touch my generation. Touch my generation, Jesus. Not just head, not just knowledge. Touch the heart of my generation. Touch the deepest, most vulnerable hearts. Touch them, Jesus. We just open up to You. Just taste Him. Just taste Him. It's so easy. Don't work for it. It's just given to You. Just come with worship. Nobody is good enough. Nobody deserves this. Please understand, nobody is more holy than the other people. It's all by His love. It's all by His mercy. It's all by Him and Him alone. And I'm just accepting. I'm just taking this as a son. Orphans work for something. Slaves always beg for something. Sons, they know Father belong to them and they belong to their Father. Sons, they have inheritance. Thank You, Papa. Thank You so much. Let us taste You every day. Come to You every day because we want to become like You more and more every day. Thank You so much. Oh, I love His presence. I love His presence so much. This is my life. This is my love. This is my everything. I don't want to be without presence. We are naked. Guys, we are naked without presence of God. That's why people don't understand the book of Genesis. When Adam and Eve, they understood they are naked physically because glory departed, because they've been covered by glory always. And all this nonsense came when people fall away from God. But He invites you right now into His presence, into His love. Don't do anything. Just humble yourself and hunger Him. Humble yourself and hunger Him. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You so much. I love You. 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 Thank You so much, Papa. Thank You, Heavenly Father. Thank You so much. Whew. That was good. That was good. Give Him a shout of praise. Thank You, Jesus. Woo.